Good morning. It is good to see you all here and good to be in God's house. And how exciting it is that just in a couple weeks we're celebrating 120 years at Bosque Del Baptist Church. That is a miracle. And as Laura said, if we get to go another 120 years, I'll be 177 years old. So, hey, that is if I'm still preaching it. No, I don't think I'll. Probably won't live to see that long, but I tell you what, it's a blessing to be here and so blessed to be a part of this church. And I so look forward to getting up every morning and being here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. I'm going to finish up the sermon from last Sunday, being bold in the face of fear. So when you get to that passage, I'd like to ask you all that are able to please stand as I read from God's Word. Acts 4, verses 29 through 31. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. While you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful again for the reading of your word. And God, I pray today that you will make each and every one of us a bold Christian, that we, being filled with your Holy Spirit, will get out into our neighborhoods and our workplaces, that we will witness to the lost about Jesus Christ, that we will not back down, no matter what people may say to us. Father, we just pray today as I preach this message, that Lord, you will speak through me through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, for it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm going to get started off here where I left off last week. Today, we're going to start off by looking that boldness must be guided by love and truth. Biblical boldness is not being rude, angry, or arrogant. Ephesians 4:15 tells us that we must speak the truth in love. Now, if you look at the example of Jesus Christ, Jesus was very bold many times throughout his ministry when he had to confront different people and their sin. But yet he was compassionate enough to reach sinners. And I think one of the many happenings of Jesus' ministry that I can recount is the woman at the well. This is a woman who had been involved in so many adulterous relationships, and it's funny that she happens to come to the well to draw the water, and here comes Jesus at the same time, and also here comes all of her accusers, and they're all basically pointing out, now here's what's something about people. Isn't it funny that when somebody in some way has done something wrong, we always have a bunch of people who like to take the place of judge and jury, and they like to point the finger at somebody else and point out their shortcomings, or they like to jump on their wagon and display, you know, let's put their weakness out to everybody. But that was not Jesus' character. And that's what Jesus is portraying to us. That's the message he wants us to know, that you and I, we're going to come up against people who may live a life different than a Christian life would. But we are supposed to approach so many people with love, and we're supposed to do it in such a peaceful way. Now, when Jesus was there at the well with the Samaritan woman, I mean, the people are calling out you know, what Jesus should do to her. They were wanting Jesus to cast her away. They were wanting her to be stoned. They wanted her to be punished. And all of a sudden, Jesus starts to write in the on the ground. And basically, he said, well, you know what? The first one of you without sin can cast the first stone. You basically, you can throw the first rock if you've never done any wrong in your life. And it's kind of like bug spray. You ever put bug spray on an anthill and watch them all scatter? Well, that's what happened here. The people, they scattered. Once Jesus applied the truth, whoever of you is perfect, throw the first stone. Well, they quickly realized that what they had done, and they went about their way. And Jesus says, woman, where's your accusers now? Where are the ones who are judging you? So we have to be careful when we are around other people that we are aware that we are no better. See, Jesus loves you, the child of God, the same that he loves the prostitute, the drug dealer, the one who is in the adulterous relationship, maybe the one who causes trouble within the church. Jesus still loves them in the same way that he loves you and I. And when it comes to dealing with people, you know how you're going to reach somebody effectively? You're going to reach somebody effectively when you come to them humbly. Now, you come before them boldly, which means you're not scared. It doesn't mean you run up in front of them and say, hey, if you don't turn from your ways, you're going to burn in hell. That's not really the way that we're called to minister to people. But that we approach people with love, that we look at them through the eyes of Jesus, and we're not looking at their faults, but we're looking at what the Lord is seeing. And I'll tell you what, if you start to practice this on a day-to-day basis, you will see your outlook on others change in so many ways. Now, while we were traveling yesterday, we were out of state, and we went to a couple of different places, and here's what I see. I'm a people watcher. I'm always real curious about what others are doing, where they're going, kind of what's going on type of thing. But a lot of times, I will look at somebody, and if they're looking right at me, I like to lock my eyes on them for a few minutes. I don't want to stare them down and make them feel weird. But I'll look at them, and I will smile at them, and this is what I'll do. So, say if I didn't know Effie, and I just saw her out in public somewhere, I'd look at her and smile. I said, ma'am, how are you today? I hope you have a blessed day. And it'd probably cause her to smile, wouldn't it? It'd make you feel good. But yesterday, I thought, I never know what somebody is going through in their life. I don't know the events that brought them to this point in their life, or maybe what they've experienced that morning. But here's what I do know. If I reflect the love of Jesus Christ, if I show that to somebody else, that's going to speak a multitude of blessings into their life. I want people to see Jesus in me. I don't want people to see Jim Cooper. So my prayer daily is I say, Lord, let others see Jesus in me, because he is the one who receives the honor and the glory for everything. Yesterday, we stopped somewhere to eat, and we had this waiter, and he was kind of an older gentleman, maybe in his late 50s, whatever, probably about my age. And you know, it was something how we interacted. You know, we were in a hurry. We had other things to get done, and then we had to hurry up and get back on the road to get home. But anyway, we're sitting there, and this man came over to our table, and what was he dressed in the finest clothing? No, he wasn't. Did he have the finest complexion? No, he didn't. Did he have gold rings and all that on his? No, he didn't. He was just somebody there doing his job, and this is what I witnessed out of him. Every single person that he interacted with, he made sure that their experience at at the table they were sitting at was one of the best that they had ever received. So he was asking people, how are you today? I hope that you are having a wonderful day. And he said, I want to thank you for coming in to Bob Evans today and having a meal with us. And it was, I mean, he wasn't talking to us right away, but he was making me feel happy. Just the joy, the expression of love. And when he came to our table, I mean, he gave us the best of attention. He made sure that everything was just right. I mean, he even looked at our table and said, you know what? Somebody cleaned this, but they didn't do it quite right. I want this table to be the best it can be for you. So I'm thinking to myself, how can I be better for somebody else? How can I be a better Christian? How can I be a better pastor? How can I be a better husband for my wife? How can I be a better servant out in the community? There's so many areas of my life that I can improve, so many ways that I could grow. And it all comes down to the fact that I have to be guided by love and by truth. If I show love to people, they are going to respond. But see, if I've got this, if I wear my feelings out here on my sleeve and I'm agitated or aggravated by any move or breath of somebody, it's going to cause division. It's going to cause separation. And basically, people are not going to want to be around me. If I was still the old me, I guarantee you, there wouldn't be, nobody would want to be within probably 20 feet of me. They would say, let's find a whole different way to go to get away from this fella. But I want to know, Lord, what can I do to improve in my life? Now, there's true biblical boldness. It speaks the truth without hatred. It stands firm without being prideful. It corrects without cruelty. And it proclaims Christ without shame. Now, when Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, he told her, he said, you know, the ones who are judging you, he says, I don't judge you either. He says, go and sin no more. Now, isn't that the greatest form of love, the greatest display of love right there? I say it is on the, it's on the cross. But everything about Jesus' ministry, when he came across Zacchaeus, I mean, a tax cheat. This guy took more from everybody than he deserved to have. But when he heard Jesus was coming, he was somehow intrigued. You know what he was intrigued by? Zacchaeus, I believe, was intrigued by the love Jesus had in his own heart. That's what was drawing him. He wanted, and I guarantee you, Zacchaeus had heard all about Jesus, and the only way he could see him was to climb up in a tree. And you know what? Zacchaeus didn't know it, but Jesus did. He was about to have a life conversion. He was about to have his heart turned around. And Jesus just looked up in the tree. Now, he didn't go, now, Zacchaeus, come down out of there and quit being foolish. Jesus didn't talk to him like that. I could just about picture Jesus saying, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm here. I want to have fellowship with you. Come down out of that tree. I want to go to your house. I want to spend time with you. Do you know what that did to that man's heart? He saw the love that Jesus had. And you know what it made him feel like? I'm loved. He called me down. He's coming to my house. How would you feel if Jesus approached you and said, Mike Golson, if Jesus said, Mike Golson, I'm coming to your and Terry's house today. I guarantee you they'd be probably out the door of this church and on the way home to get everything in order. And oh, what a time of fellowship they would have together. I could only imagine what it would be like to have Jesus physically in front of me or in my company. I would be so full of joy. I'd have tears running down my face because the Lord came to me. And so what the Lord has given to us, we have to give to other people. And if we give it to them in love, we know that love goes a long way. But if we have hatefulness in our hearts, if we have jealousy, if we have pride, I'll tell you what, the world's going to see it in us, and then they're going to go, what church is that person from again? You know what I've heard before? Well, so-and-so goes to that church. Well, remind me to never go there. I've heard that because I've heard somebody say, well, they're supposed to be a Christian, but I saw them doing X, and then I saw them doing A and B, and I'm not going to that church because that's how all Christians are. See, it only takes one person to destroy a witness for an entire church. So that's why you and I are called. That's why you and I are to praise the Lord together and grow as a family. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. There's a lot of people this morning that I saw out on the lake that I wish they were in church. Now, I'm not going to stop on the side of the bridge and start yelling out, hey, you lazy scum, get out of that boat and come to church. What's wrong with you? I mean, that's not the kind of action that's going to get good results. But, you know, if I go to people and say, you know, I wanted to ask, where do you attend church? And if some people say, well, I don't go anywhere. Well, I would love to invite you to come to visit our church at Boscadale Baptist. We have a wonderful church family. We have a close-knit relationship with one another. And there's so much love in that little church house. Do we have marble pillars? No. Do we have $20,000 carpentry and seats? No. Do we have the huge praise band? No. Do we have parking for 400 cars? No, we don't. But that stuff doesn't matter. You know what matters? What matters is that we are being the messengers of love that Christ has called you and I to be. That's what makes this church so special, is the love of Jesus that's going on in the lives of others. Now, lastly, the boldness is needed to witness for Christ. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This world, we need believers that are willing to share their testimony, speak the name of Jesus, stand for biblical truth, invite others to salvation, and I like this one, live openly as followers of Christ. I'm telling you, it takes boldness to do that. How many of you could walk up to somebody right now and start witnessing to them? It's kind of hard, isn't it? Because how am I going to be received? How will people judge me? Well, I used to deal with a lot of that. I used to go to a church and I used to be concerned with, am I going to preach the right way? Am I going to step on anybody's toes or offend somebody? And then I finally learned that I wasn't there to please, you know, the people. I wasn't there to make, you know, let me back this up. The preaching ain't supposed to go along with what the people want to hear, if they're wanting to hear an ear-tickling sermon. But it is hard to get in the pulpit a lot of times, especially if you got something going on in your own life, and it's hard to convey, but I have to ask God for the boldness. I have to realize that it's not me and it's not by my power that I'm standing up here delivering the word of the Lord. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is by His boldness through me that allows me to get up here And when I preach the messages, I want to preach them in love. I don't ever want anybody to feel like I'm calling them out. But what I want people to learn from the messages that I preach is that, hey, we're all in the same boat. We all have shortcomings, and they're all different. We have different personalities. But you know what we have in common? We have one Savior. We have one Lord. We have one commitment to uphold to, and that's to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And we can't be witnesses if we're being too scared, or if we're worried about being judged or looked down upon. You know, I finally reached a point in my life, I didn't care if people ran away from me if I went to witness to them. If I witnessed to somebody, you know what? The word's going to go forth, and it's going to be the seed will be planted in their heart, and the Lord is the one who will take care of that seed. Do I preach like I just stepped out of a seminary? No. I tell you something I found out. I found out that if I preach what the Lord lays on my heart, it's a lot more effective. But if I preached what I learned in school, it doesn't matter to a hill of beans, really. But what I want as a pastor, or even as just a Christian, I want to be known as a child of God, but I also want Satan to know, and I want Satan to know that, hey, Jim Cooper got up out of bed this morning. I better head to the hills because he's going to be praying. How would you like to be known in the same way as a child of the Lord? That when you get out of bed, Satan, he don't want to hang around you. He wants to depart and run away from you because he knows you're about to go to war. He knows you mean business. And that's what the Lord's looking at. The Lord's looking at our heart. And the Lord is seeing if you are for real and if I am for real. We have an entire world of people that are dying and going to hell. So like yesterday, when we're out in public, and I just sometimes I can see people and I know they're Christians. I've always been able to judge a lot of people's character sometimes. And I could just tell. And there was this one couple that passed us. And I said, "Hello, how are you today?" And just give him a big smile. And the lady looked at me and she smiled and she said, "I'm blessed." I said, "I'm blessed too." And her husband turned around and he stuck his hand out to shake my hand and he smiled and he said, "God bless you, sir." And I said, "God bless you too." And we shook hands. And a lot of people think, well, what's the significance of that? Well, I'll tell you what the significance is, was it was wonderful fellowshipping with two Christian people that I had never seen, that I had never met, but we shared a common bond. We shared a relationship with Jesus Christ, and even though I didn't know them, they're my brothers and sisters in Christ, and for that moment, there was a connection made. Will I see these people again? Maybe not. Maybe I will. I don't know. God has ways of making things happen. But I hope our paths cross. But what I wanted to convey to these people, if they were not Christians, that I wanted them to see Jesus in me, and I wanted that message to be delivered to their hearts because I wanted to give them the best hope that they could ever receive. I've received a lot of gifts in my life, and I'm thankful for each and every blessing. But the thing that I am most thankful for is Jesus Christ giving His life for me and dying on the cross and raising from the dead, that knowing when I die, I will go immediately to be in the presence of the Lord. But while I'm here, I've got a job to do, and He is walking with me every step of the way. He is providing every single need that I have. And I am so thankful that the Lord is upholding me when I'm weak, And when I try to get ahead of him, I'm always thankful that through his Holy Spirit, he gently and so lovingly calls my name and brings me back to him, reminding me I need to follow after him instead of trying to lead my life. You and I, according to Matthew 5, 14 through 16, we're the light of the world. Don't let your light go out. Don't let Satan snuff out your light. Remember the song that we sang from many moons ago when we were kids growing up in church? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I don't know. I can't remember the tune all that well. So don't throw tomatoes or nothing. But there's also a verse that says, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let my light shine. What about you? What about me? I want us all together as a church family, let our light shine so bright that people all around Carbondale and Jackson County and Williamson County, whatever counties we go to, that if people know you're from Boscadale Baptist Church, I pray that every person that looks at you and looks at me says, I know they are a Christian. The evidence is there. It can be seen in their life. They walk it. They talk it. They live it. And it's not fake. I tell you, that's one thing that used to always bother me. I don't ever want to be known as a fake or a phony and then have to stand before the Lord and give an account of that. And also, in this ministry, I also don't want to stand before the Lord and hear Him say, well, I called you to witness. I called you to go here and go, but you were too afraid. Why? And I don't know if that's what the Lord would say, but see, that's something I want to avoid. I always want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, the early church did not pray, Lord, make our enemies disappear. Here's what they prayed, Lord, give us boldness. Your enemies and my enemies will not disappear. The things in this world that weigh us down, we could ask God to take them off of us, and there's times that God won't take them off, but you know what He's asking you and I to do? He's asking us to increase our faith, to make us bold, to make us stronger, to where we will rise up above the situation and that we will praise Him, giving Him the honor and the glory. And when we do that, the Lord will pour out strength upon us and He will carry us through some of the roughest times of our life. And then lastly, Acts 4:31, the answer is found there. When they prayed, then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the Word of God with boldness. You can't be led by your own strength and power. You have to be led. I have to be led by the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you some questions. Are you allowing fear to silence your witness? Is there an area where God is calling you to stand or maybe go and serve? Are you seeking boldness through prayer? And are you willing to obey God even when obedience is difficult? Are you willing? Boldness is not the confidence that everything will be easy, but boldness is the confidence that God is with us, God is true, and obedience to Him is worth the cost. Now, it was mentioned this morning, everybody goes through something in life, and you know what? There's a lot of times we might feel like what Job felt going through. We go through a lot of things. But I want you to know this. The Lord, He sticks closer than any brother. He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. So see, we serve a wonderful Savior.